All right, guys. So most churches will preach series on things that God actually said, you know? But if you haven't come to the conclusion yet, Northside's a bit different, or North Park's a bit different, right? Because we're preaching on things that God never said, you know, just to twist it up a little bit. So just to recap, we learned 3 weeks ago that God never said that he wants us to be happy. Happiness is not God's main goal for our lives, right? And often when holiness comes into play and we choose happiness over holiness, God doesn't want us to be happy about that. God never said that he will never give us more than we can handle. This is a big myth, right? God says that he'll help us through it all. God says if we draw near to him, he's going to draw near to us. God said that he's going to give us strength, but he never said he's going to give us less than we can handle. God never said it doesn't matter what you do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, right? Bucky preached about this last week. All sin has consequences. It affects our relationship with Jesus. It affects our path that we take. It affects how we hear him. It affects our relationships with others. And we've been taking these ideas and we've been crushing them, right? We've been taking these ideas that culture embraces and we've been saying, no, these aren't things that God has said. But these things have seeped into the church. And you might have had a cringing moment or two over this series, like, oh, I've been saying that since the 80s, right? I've been telling people that in counseling all the time. I've been saying things that God has not said, and now I'm kind of feeling bad about it because I've been putting words in God's mouth that he had no intentions of ever saying, and I've been calling it the truth of who God is, right? But I don't want you to beat yourself up. You know now that God didn't say these things, right? It's kind of like when I learned that processed foods probably aren't healthy for me, right? And I mean, I can look back at my life and say, all that Velveeta cheese, all of those frozen burritos, you know, all of that canned ham probably wasn't good for me. But now I know it's not good and I only have them on holidays. You know what I'm saying, right? So now we know God didn't say these things and that sets us free, just like scripture says. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, what I really said. And you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that's what this series is about. But this morning, you guys, I think we are tackling the biggest of our four topics in the God Never Said That series. You see, the first three is kind of about our relationship with God here on earth. I mean, we can have this abundant life as Christians here on earth, and God has this desire for us to live a certain way, and it directs our paths, and it's God's will, and it's what God wants for our lives. But this morning, we're talking about our eternal relationship with God. Today, if we get this one wrong, it affects our eternity. The first three kind of affect our day-to-day lives. So as your friend, as your pastor, I'm going to plead with you to listen up this morning because this one is super serious. And we have our video.
I'm just really searching right now. I mean, my favorite professor doesn't even believe in God. And my roommate is part of this totally different religion that's actually pretty interesting to me. And then there's my boyfriend who just kind of picks and chooses from different religions. You know, I always thought I knew what I believed about God. Now I'm just not sure. Well, the good news is it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere.
I shouldn't even have to tell you this. God never said that.
Begin this topic with a story about my grandpa. It was my grandpa Lori, it was his name, and he was the only grandpa that I ever knew. He was my mom's stepdad, because my mom's dad died before I was born, and my dad's dad died when my dad was just 8 years old. So this was the only grandpa I had. And looking back on my grandpa, this was the only guy in my entire family who ever mentioned anything about religion. Now, he wouldn't say he was a religious guy, but he was raised Catholic, and some things really stuck with him. So I spent Friday nights with my grandparents' house because my mom was a waitress, and she worked late on Friday nights. And so when I was 5 years old, this is 3 years before I became a Christian, and you know my story, I got saved in a kids' club and a bus ministry that came to my neighborhood. So it was 3 years before I even became a Christian, and I was at my grandpa's house one Friday night, and he decided we were going to have a lot of fun. he was going to teach me to memorize the Lord's Prayer. Right? It was either that or watch Fantasy Island. How many of you watch Fantasy Island on Friday nights? Yes. It was either watch, 40 and older, it was either watch Fantasy Island or memorize the Lord's Prayer. So we spent about 2 hours that Friday night memorizing the Lord's Prayer. You know it with me. Say the first line. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As you can imagine, this brought some questions to my five-year-old brain who never heard of God. So I said, heaven, what in the world is heaven? My grandpa, he tried best to explain it to me. I think there was flying angels and clouds and all sorts of stuff. And then I said, well, is that where everybody goes when they die? Is that what they do? Well, this question wasn't as easy for my grandpa. And he says, well, I guess it depends on what you believe. So I said, well, what do you believe, Grandpa? This was really, 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 really tough for him. And he stumbled over his words and eventually said, well, I think you have to make sure that you do more good than you do bad. And if you believe that, that's enough. Well, for my five-year-old mind on a Friday night, that was plenty of religion for me, right? My grandpa, he was sincere in what he thought he believed. And my grandpa was a really nice guy. He was a good guy. And it was most likely that he had more good in his life than bad in his life. He was a typing teacher in a middle school. For those of you under 40 again, this was a real thing. All right? And you sat in a room and you did A-A-A-S-S-S-D-D-D-J-J-J-K-K-K-L-L-L-M-M-M. Sem, because Sem was what the street kids said. Sem, for semicolon, right? So it was very, very cool, right? So he was a typing teacher, and he actually was at the middle school that I lived across the street from, but he retired before I got there, and I spent 2 months there. The principal at the school that my grandpa taught, his name was Mr. Martinky. It was like a martini and a Twinkie had a baby, all right? Mr. Martinky was his name. You will never, ever forget about it. And Mr. Martinky became very, very good friends with my grandpa. Mr. Martinky even attended my parents' wedding. That's how close he became. Fast forward to my sophomore year in college. My grandma, Lori, passes away. My grandpa, as do most spouses who lose their spouse, went through a very hard time. He missed my grandma terribly. And so many conversations came up regarding heaven and if he'd ever see her again. And I was the only person in my family who believed in heaven. So that summer, home from college, I spent almost every day talking to my grandpa about heaven. Because he started to question what he sincerely believed. Was doing more good than bad really what got you to heaven, right? And even though my grandpa was nice and fun, he also made a lot of mistakes. And that began to be revealed to me that summer. I had no idea. My grandpa was married before he married my grandma. And my grandpa had an affair on his first wife. Wait for it. Wait, with my grandma, okay? And my grandpa, his first wife, was terminally ill, raising a young child, and he left her. So you see, my grandpa was starting to question if this is what he sincerely believed, if doing more good than bad got you to heaven, and he thought he's probably pretty close to maybe he didn't do enough good to get to heaven. So he started to question that, and that summer I had a chance to tell him what exactly God said about eternity, and he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. 3 months later, he passed away, right? So at my grandpa's wake, I know this is a long story, but it's all with me on this, okay? Mr. Martinky comes to the wake. Mr. Martinky comes in sobbing. He is, and see your principal cry is weird, all right? He is sobbing and crying. He is causing such a scene, I thought maybe somebody at the wake stabbed him in his kneecap. He is crying so hard. He cries for a little, he walks around, he cries a little more, then he leaves. I thought, that was weird. The next morning, Mr. Martinky shows up for the funeral. I thought, I hope he can hold himself together, because that was a really rough night the night before. So during the funeral, I have a chance to share my grandpa how he came to know Christ as Savior, how he accepted Christ's forgiveness, how he accepted that grace and faith through faith was the only way to salvation. So I tell the story. Mr. Martinky, at the end of the funeral, he makes a beeline for me, and he's not sobbing anymore. He's not crying anymore. He is all smiles. He is the most peaceful, smiley guy I've ever seen in all my life. And he tells me that he's a believer, he's a Christian, and he never had the courage to tell my grandpa that there really was only one way to heaven. Because my grandpa was so sincere in what he believed, good and bad, and he was such a nice guy, and he felt awkward because he was the principal and my grandpa was a teacher. So he never told my grandpa what his faith was in Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. So when he showed up at that wake, he was devastated, believing that my grandpa was not in heaven, but my grandpa was eternally separated from God. Mr. Martinke decided that at that point when he was teaching with my grandpa, that he wasn't going to mix up the culture that my grandpa believed. That it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. But here's the thing. It does matter what you believe. This statement, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere, it's not true. And even before we get all biblical with it, does this statement ever work? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. I mean, if I wanted to lose weight and I sincerely believed eating 4 bagels a day along with a pound of bacon and 25 Twinkies was okay, and I sincerely believed I would lose this weight eating this way, would I? No, because it's not true. It doesn't matter that I sincerely believe it. Or if you come to my house one day and you sincerely believe that you and your spouse and your 5 kids and your 3 dogs and your grandma and your cousin's python could come live at my house for an extended, unknowing time period, and you sincerely believe that I'm going to let you live with me for an unknown amount of time with all of those things, you would be sincerely wrong. Only because I hate snakes. I mean, that's the only reason I would do that, right? We can sincerely believe a lot of things. Like, how many of you sincerely believe the Bears are going 16-0 this season? Cameron, yes, I know. You can sincerely believe that, but you will be most likely sincerely wrong, right? So why, believing that understanding, why would we believe that the God of the universe would say, hey, doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere. This is what we call feel-good theology. You know, it's a feel-good, I'm not ready for that just yet. It's a feel-good theology, right? And it's not founded by God. It's created by people who sincerely believe it, but they're sincerely wrong. I mean, salvation, eternity in heaven is not like all roads lead to Rome. That's not what it is. I mean, we've made the afterlife, we've made a relationship with God, being forever in the presence of God, as like going downtown, right? Because many of us have different routes that we go to the city. And one of you may say, I always take the 94 into the city. It's just the fastest way to go. And someone else says, that's ridiculous. I take the Metro, right? I can just pay my money and sit down and do reading and stuff, and all of a sudden, voila, I'm in the city. Well, that's going to get you too. But another person says, the Metro, that is so expensive. I take the Red Line. A lot of interesting people you can see on the Red Line. So you're like, I take the Red Line. That's the best way. And that will get you downtown too. And another one says, that's crazy. Red Line, when it goes underground, I feel claustrophobic. I got to take the bus. And if you think there's interesting people on the Red Line, you got to take the bus. And I take the bus down the city, and the bus will get you down the city too. And then another person says, no, Uber is the way to go. And I know some of you, like, your Uber people are your best friends. Uber is the way to go. And I make the Uber person take Lakeshore Drive because it's so beautiful. And that is the best way to get you downtown. So many different options to get downtown, and all of them will take you there. But heaven doesn't work that way. You can't just choose what you think is the best way to get into a relationship with God and end up in heaven, and voila, I chose the best way. Because here is the thing, all religions are not the same. And that's where it gets culturally messy, right? Because what makes you think your religion's better than mine, right? Or what makes you more spiritual than me? Or why are you so close-minded? Or why are you so judgmental? Or your God sounds like a country club. It sounds like you have to do all these things. Or why does your God let so many people go to hell? You know, these are the questions. And in most faith group, most religions, we're on the same page when we use language like God, or we use language like spirituality, or we say even like higher power, or even peace, or even eternity. And that language kind of seems to encompass all faiths. But here's where the controversy begins. Here he is.
this is where the controversy begins. This is where it gets a little more difficult to say all of our religions are the same, or all the ways get us to heaven. We're going to look at John 14 this morning. And in the context of John 14, it is the day before Jesus is arrested and crucified. And he has told his disciples, his faithful followers, the time has come, he's leaving. And they really didn't get it, and we really wouldn't have gotten it either, right? And they're questioning, they're concerned that Jesus is going somewhere. And Jesus says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled, trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you will know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord. Thomas said, we have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? You see his earnestness there. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Read the last part with me. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus says there's one way to heaven. Right? And in the world, we don't deny that Jesus existed. There is so much historical proof that Jesus existed. Hardly anybody in the world denies that he lived, right? Just like Christopher Columbus or Julius Caesar, we know that Jesus existed. And the world loves most of his teaching, right? Help the poor. We can rally behind that. Or love others. That sounds good. Or forgive one another. That sounds really beautiful too. And serve one another and take care of the orphans and look after the widows. And we all love this type of teaching. But when Jesus says something like this, I am the way, the truth, and life, no one can come to the Father except through me. It's exclusive. It sounds exclusive, right? This sets Christianity apart from all other religions. Right? It's different. Jesus is clearly saying nobody is getting to God the Father in heaven except through me. And it's so easy to try to make similarities with other religions by saying things like, we all worship the same God. We don't all worship the same God. Because our God has a son named Jesus Christ who was willing to give his life on the cross for us through grace and faith that we are saved. We do not worship the same God. It makes us feel that way. But our God is different. Our God is the one true God. John 3:16 says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God never said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. God says you got to believe in his son, Jesus, as Savior. Jesus is the wrench that disrupts our feel-good theology, right? So that's why we got to look at Jesus a little more closely. Let's look at this. Three aspects of Jesus. First thing, the ministry of Jesus. Who was Jesus? Mark 2:16-17 says, when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? I love that word because we don't use that word enough. Scum, right? I think I used that in like fourth grade. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call those who think they are righteous. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus eats with sinners and the hated tax collectors, right? The scum of the society at the time. Religious folks did not associate with these people, right? The righteous do not mix with the unrighteous. And Jesus really tells them, really, that's why I've come. I've come for the sinner. What do you mean, religious folk, that you don't mix with the unrighteous? I have come for the sinners. This was the very group that Jesus had come. And this was the very group that rejected people. The religious people rejected sinners. And remember the lady who was going to be stoned for adultery. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They are trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." That's powerful stuff, right? He came for sinners. And in his ministry, he healed the blind and the lame and the deaf and those possessed by demons. He touched the lepers. He raised the dead. And people didn't question the validity of his miracles, right? The religious people just wanted him to stop doing it. And Jesus, he still does miracles today. And some of you here, I know your stories. You've seen miracles in your life. You've seen unbelievable healings in your life. You've seen a broken heart be healed. You've seen peace that comes and turn a trauma. One of you who's not here today got saved in prison, right? Miracles. People have come into your life and told you about Jesus. That is a miracle. Jesus came to save sinners, all of which we are. Look at this. Scripture says no one is righteous, not even one. Not even one. We got to consider Jesus, the aspects of Jesus. We got to consider his ministry. Other thing you have to consider his death. Sin comes with consequences. We learned this last week. For the wages of sin is death. And if you were like my grandpa, who sincerely believed at one time, as long as you did more good than evil, as long as you were able to kind of balance that out, you're going to be allowed into heaven. Take a look at what God's word says in James. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. Wow. That doesn't mean anything with the scales anymore. You break one, you broke them all. Sin is sin. Sin has consequences, right? One sin blows it. And I'm sure I did that before I even left the hospital back in 73. And by 73, I mean 83 when I was born, all right? But thank goodness there's more to this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? Jesus became the way, the only way. And through his death, God sends his son to rescue us. Jesus, born of a virgin, born without sin, lived without sin, took on the punishment as a perfect sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." He takes our sin. He takes our punishment, that thing that separates us from a perfect God, and allows us, by his grace, through faith, to have entrance into heaven. This is possible because he was crucified. Here is the biggest point I can make today. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. If that was the truth, why in the world would God allow this to happen? For real. If there was another way, why in the world would God allow this to happen? Think about it this way. Eugenie, you were stuck in North Park Church, all right, when it fell down, all right? North Park Church, there was an earthquake here in Chicago, and you're trapped inside, okay? And the fireman comes to me and says, in order to get Eugenie out, we need to send in Peyton. Peyton is my 11-year-old son, okay? We need to send in Peyton because he seems to be the right size to get through the rubble, and he has some good upper body strength, takes after his mother. So he has some good upper body strength, and we think he could lift the beam out to save Eugenie's life. We think Peyton is the perfect person. And in my parental anguish, I say, is there any other way? Is there any other way? Because they told me it's a possibility he could die in the process of saving Eugenie's life. And I say, please, is there any other way, Mr. Fireman? Is there any other way that she can get free? And he says, sure, there's some other ways. We can wait. There's the fire department down the street with a crane, and they can come and lift him out. And we can do that also. And we also know that over here, this person has this drill, and he could be here in 5 minutes, and we know exactly where she is, so we could drill her out. That's another way. And we think we also can coach her to shimmy herself out in such a way that she would be safe. If there are so many ways to save Eugenie from this building, why am I sending in my son to his death to save her, right? Why in the world would God send his son to a horrific death to take the punishment of our sin, to be the sacrificial lamb, if there were other ways to get there? He wouldn't, and he didn't. We have to consider Jesus' death. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." And then the last thing we need to consider about Jesus is the resurrection. And we're going to be talking a lot about this the next 3 Sundays leading up to Easter. But let's get a little excited about it today. 3 days after Christ dies, he comes back to life. His resurrected body is witnessed by over 500 people. Imagine if Jesus would have claimed that he would die and come back to life and he just died. Do you think his followers would have been as passionate about giving their lives for him about a story that might be true? No. He died and he was resurrected. They saw the risen Lord and they were willing to die for that. Would you give your life if Jesus was just one way to get to heaven? There's a lot of other possibilities out there. Would you sacrifice your life for just that one way? Romans 3:23 says, we were made right by God by placing our faith in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. We are made right with God by believing and placing our faith in the Son of God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what type of family you were born into. Doesn't matter how bad you have been. Doesn't matter how bad your life is right now. Anyone who places their faith in Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, is made right with God. Popular culture, feel-good theology, they're going to tell you it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. But God never said that. God says it does matter what you believe. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Mr. Martinke knew this when he showed up at my grandpa's wake, right? And he truly believed that my grandpa did not know that. And he was crushed, believing that someone he loved was eternally separated from God. It matters what you believe. I'm going to sneak one more in, the message of Jesus, and make it 4. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. For you to believe that God said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere would be your greatest mistake ever, right? And if you want the kind of relationship that God made for you, the kind of eternal relationship that Jesus died for on the cross to offer you, then I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, maybe you have thought there's lots of ways, or I'm going to figure it out when I'm older, or I'm going to figure it out when I have more time. If you have never, ever given your life to Jesus, believing he is the only way, I'm going to pray a prayer. I don't want you to pray it out loud, but I want you to pray it in your heart. If you believe it, and you want it, and you want to draw that line in the sand and say, this is the only way, and I'm taking it, then I want you to pray this prayer. Jesus Christ, today I want to begin a relationship with you. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you personally. And I ask you to forgive me for the wrong things I've done. And I want to learn from you how to live. And I choose today to begin to live by your direction and guidance. I don't even know what that all means, but I'm trusting in you to show me the way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that this morning, I want you to let me know that you prayed it. If you want to send it in an email, you want to whisper to me, you want to write me a note and slip it in class, that's fine. But I want to know if you prayed that prayer this morning, because you are now a part of the family of God. And Scripture says you can't be let go from that. You're in his hand, and nobody can come and try to pluck you out of it. You are eternally with him. You're safe. You're his child. You just inherited heaven. That's a whole lot of stuff, right? You're his kids now. And if you prayed that for the very first time, please let me know, because I want to welcome you as my brother, as my sister in Christ, because we are part of a forever family in God. There's so much more to this world than here. It's great, but it's nothing like heaven and eternity. So if you did that for the very first time today, please let me know. And if you did that years ago, it's been a lot of years since I prayed that prayer. My little 8-year-old face and body and bobbed haircut and dirty jeans and overalls that I prayed that prayer and gave my life to Christ. Maybe you've gotten numb to culture. Maybe you've been really worried about sticking out or looking like one of those Christians that think they know everything and make everybody feel bad of who you are. Here's the thing. There is only one way to heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ. And Mr. Martinke, you don't want to be him sobbing at somebody's funeral thinking you never had the guts to share that with somebody. I'm not saying with a bullhorn on the corner raging at someone. I'm saying loving them the way Jesus did, because his message was about love and taking care and looking after people's needs. And you be that person to someone. And then you tell them why you're doing that. It's because who Jesus Christ has made you to be. And you share that love that way. But don't just assume, and just don't fall into culture believing that it's okay to believe, as long as whatever, it's fine, as long as you're sincere. It's not true. God never said that. So I challenge you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who are already heaven bound, to make it serious and be proactive and tell people what Jesus said. It's not your words. You don't have to own it. It's Jesus' words, right? I always fall back on that. I say it. He said it. He did it. You know? Do that. Because we want as many people up there that none should perish, right? Lord Jesus, thanks for this morning. Thank you for the reminder of what is at stake with this limited time we have here on earth. I thank you so much for those. I believe there is someone here who accepted you for the very first time today. I truly believe it. So, Father, I thank you for that person. And maybe they don't know what it all means or what their life's going to happen, but you're in charge. And they have received you, and they have that Holy Spirit inside them right now that is going to guide them and direct them. And I just pray, Father, for holy boldness. I pray, Father, that in love and holy boldness, we would reach out to the people that we love and make sure that they know it doesn't matter. We cannot keep thinking that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, that there is only one way. And you said it is through your Son. Thank you for making that possible. It's in your name. Amen.